Today's broadcast of Streams in the Desert Live will be a rebroadcast of episode 146, The Handwriting of America is Upon the Wall. Please enjoy.
Welcome to Streams in the Desert Live, an interactive prophetic talk show with pastor, evangelist, and prophetic teacher, Dana Bohansky, senior pastor of Streams in the Desert Ministries and House Church, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy and give you, the listener, an opportunity to call in to ask questions and share information regarding the signs of the times. This ministry is dedicated to the preaching and teaching of the unadulterated word of the one and only true and living God under the power and anointing of God's Holy Ghost. Streams in the Desert Live is an expansion of Streams in the Desert Ministries. Now, here's your host, Pastor Dana.
Shalom and blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is Pastor Dana, and I once again would like to thank you for joining me today, May 10th, 2017, for the Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio broadcast, coming to you live from the beautiful and breathtaking studios of StarWorldwideNetworks.com, where we look at the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Today's topic title is The Handwriting of America is Upon the Wall. But before we get started, let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne this day and bow down spiritually, Lord God. We thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you've yet to do. We ask that you would send the power and anointing of your Holy Spirit to send your word around the world to the ears and hearts of your people, spiritually speaking, that will be drawn into your eternal kingdom. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day, and Lord Jesus, we thank you for taking our place upon the cross of Calvary, and we just ask, Lord, that you would give us the power through your Holy Spirit to bring this hour strongly before the ears of all mankind, from your mouth, Lord God, to the ears of all mankind. Holy Spirit, have your way in this day, and we command in the name of Jesus Christ that every foul spirit, every hindering spirit, every spirit of lust, control, and pride, and wickedness, and interruption be bound this very hour. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command that it be done. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, amen and amen. And with that said, my friends, greetings to you all once again from wherever you are in the world as you join me, your host, Pastor Dana, today for another compelling episode of Streams in the Desert Live Internet Radio Broadcast. As we open the show for today, it is with a piece that is quite chilling when you really stop to think about just how the Lord God may allow the things being presented in it to truly take place here at 11:59 and split seconds, just before the imminent return of his one and only begotten Son, who is at the same time the only Savior of the world, in a last-ditch effort to try and turn the hearts of the American people, not to mention the world at large, from the world to him, God, that is, by way of a personal relationship with his, there again, one and only begotten Son, who is none other than Jesus Christ. This piece is dated May 9th, 2017, and was found posted on the alternative news website of whatdoesitmean.com and is titled, Catastrophic North Korea Nuke Attack on U.S. Said Will Bring America Back to God, of which the writer begins thusly by sharing an intriguing Ministry of Defense, or MOD, report circulating in the Kremlin today states that the American briefing papers provided to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or MOFA, ahead of tomorrow, meaning today, May 10th, 2017's unexpected and unplanned meeting between Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson in Washington, D.C., contains a stunning document titled, listen up, my friends, quote, Proposal Rebuilding from North Korea Attack, A Path Back to Morality. That strongly suggests that the United States is inevitably or is inviting or urging a catastrophic attack upon their nation in order that it can be rebuilt to reflect its nearly lost Christian values. The writer continues by stating, according to this report, last week, when Foreign Minister Lavrov was preparing for his Arctic Council meeting this week with U.S. Secretary of State Tillerson to be held in Fairbanks, Alaska, President Donald Trump on May 2nd personally called President Putin to request that Lavrov first stop in Washington, D.C. for a secret or private meeting, and that the U.S. or the U.S. State of Department sent supporting documents to the Federation to demonstrate the critical importance of. The writer further states, interesting to note, though not contained in this report, was that when the MOD or Ministry of Defense released this information in the Kremlin just hours ago on May 9th, 2017, China reported that it was now conducting live fire drills and weapons tests in the northeastern Bohai Sea, close to the Korean Peninsula. The anonymous hacking group warned the world via YouTube, my friends, to prepare for World War III, and Lieutenant General Victor Feznakur issued a warning that the U.S. is surrounding Russia and China with missile defense systems in order to launch a sudden nuclear strike and prevent any retaliation. Next, the writer informs us that what the MOD or Ministry of Defense report does contain, though, is a chilling assessment of North Korea's nuclear arsenal and attack plans upon the United States. The American people have not ever been told the truth about. The writer further states, not being told to the American people about the grave threat they are now facing from North Korea, this report says is how very simple and easy it is to make an atomic bomb, with the hardest part being able to obtain or manufacture the radioactive elements of uranium or plutonium needed, but that even young teenage schoolboys David Hahn and Jamie Edwards in both the United States and the United Kingdom were able to make by building their own nuclear reactor. Moving ahead in the article, the writer shares with North Korea at the very least being reported to have enough plutonium to make 10 atomic bombs. This report explains it's important to remember that just 25 pounds of this radioactive substance surrounded by 100 pounds of TNT is enough to create a 10 kiloton miniaturized atomic bomb, and is exactly what North Korea leader Kim Jong-un revealed to the world last year his nation had. Though Americans propaganda mainstream media has failed to inform their citizens of this catastrophic atomic bomb possessed by North Korea, this report details the same cannot be said of the Western military leaders, including South Korea Defense Minister Kim Kwon-jin in 2011, making a rare admission that North Korea has produced a lighter nuclear device. In 2013, North Korea detonated a miniaturized nuclear device with greater explosive force in an underground test. In 2014, U.S. military commander in South Korea, General Curtis Scaparotti, stated that North Korea had the ability to miniaturize nuclear weapons for the purpose of putting them on a ballistic missile. And just last year, in 2016, Admiral William Gortney, commander of the U.S. Northern Command, warning that North Korea now had the ability to miniaturize a nuclear warhead and mount it on an ICBM that could reach the United States. Continuing on, the writer as well states, to how North Korea has deployed its simply made miniaturized atomic bombs for an attack on the United States, this report explains, is by its Putkatsung-1 submarine-launched ballistic missiles, but that the West wasn't concerned about due to their belief that they could always track North Korean submarines. That is, until 2015, when up to 50 North Korean submarines suddenly disappeared from being able to be tracked, and that only half to get within 600 miles away from America's shore to launch their sub-based atomic missiles. The writer then warns, equally to be feared as North Korea's submarine-based atomic bomb missiles, this report continues, are its KMS-3 Unit 2 and KMS-4 satellites orbiting over America daily that are now believed to be holding miniature atomic bomb devices as well, with Western experts now warning that North Korea is preparing to detonate them over America in what are called EMP blasts, to cripple the vital infrastructure of the U.S. The writer as well shares the MOD, our Ministry of Defense intelligence analyst, writing this report, note that even though North Korea can inflict catastrophic and crippling damage on the United States with the detonation of just 9 of their miniaturized atomic bombs, the only area that will be harmed are those in the, listen up, my friends, western and eastern coastal regions of the United States, all of whom are violently opposed to President Trump. So violently opposed to President Trump are these people living in the western coastal region of America. This report says shocking new information coming from the United States is showing that his leftist communist enemies are now chanting Hail Satan at city and village meetings, with their claiming abortion is our sacrament, and further shouting, we love Lucifer. And that is chillingly spreading to its nation's heartland, where it is also being reported that a small village in Minnesota is now preparing to erect America's first public satanic temple monument. The writer further states, even more chilling to President Trump and the tens of millions of Americans who support him, this report continues, are the United States communist leftist scientists who are now proclaiming that Christians are brain-damaged, crazy people. My friends, everything that was just mentioned, I went and looked up to make sure that it was legitimate, and it all is. As the writer begins to close, my friends, they once again touch upon the earlier specified supporting document given to the Federation by the American government when they state, though the U.S. supplied document titled Proposal Rebuilding from North Korea Attack, A Pathway Back to Morality, remains more highly classified than this general report is allowed the mentioning of, the MOD, or Ministry of Defense intelligence experts, do note in their conclusions that should President Trump, his Vice President Mike Pence, and his generals allow North Korea to destroy his leftist communist enemies' strongholds along the western and eastern coastal regions of America, he would indeed be able to restore Christianity throughout America, and that they may be planning to even do sooner now, since South Korea just elected a president who favors negotiating with North Korea instead of going to war. And on that mind-bending, thoroughly spine-tingling note, I will be right back after the break to share with you just why the Lord God may one day soon, and very soon, allow such a scenario to take place, of which we as Christians know would not be at the behest of President Trump or any other earthly world leader's plan to bring America to its knees in crying out to the one and only true and living God, but would and could only come by way of the power, working, anointing, and wooing of the true and living God's Holy Spirit.
Jesus told us men would hate us, but we must be of good cheer. He has overcome this world of darkness. Soon we will depart from here. Ooh. We are strangers. We are aliens. We are not of this world. We are strangers.
Okay, my friends, how mellow. Yes, Lord, I need that relaxation, but hope I don't fall asleep. A few hours sleep last night. Yahoo! Okay, just before getting into our next piece, please allow me to set the stage with, which will be quite easy to do. For what is needed in the doing so is found on the pages of Daniel chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, where Daniel sets out by writing the account of the fall of Babylon into the hands of King Cyrus the Great, where he opens by sharing, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines, or prostitutes, my friends, might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines, or prostitutes, my friends, drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, of brass, of iron, of wood and stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. And now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy countenance, thy thoughts, trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, for as much as in an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jeri? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be unto thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with the grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. And this and that he appointed over it whom he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thy heart, though thou knowest all of this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and concubines, or in other words, my friends, prostitutes, have drank wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, stone, which see not, hear not, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was part of the hand seen, sent from him. And this writing was written, And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, said Daniel. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou are weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. With the groundwork laid, our next piece involves, my friends, the words of Daniel just shared and was reported on prophecynewswatch.com, dated May 5th, 2017, which was written by Mark Creech for ChristianActionLeague.org and is titled, The Handwriting on the Wall. Will you believe it? Which Mark opens by sharing the foreseeable when he states, the deterioration of national moral character means inevitable tragedy. He shares that was the message to Belshazzar, the Babylonian king, who was celebrating in revelry, extravagant and luxurious passion when he made a momentous and daring decision. The writer states that just as we read a moment ago in Daniel chapter 5 of the Bible, it is recorded that at the height of a tremendous festival, he ordered the vessels of gold and silver that were taken from the temple in Jerusalem to be brought. Belshazzar would use them, says the writer, as wine goblets. While in his orgy, he praised his own gods. It was an open defiance of the living God of Israel, whose moral requirements were known throughout the world. Because, my friends, of what had happened prior to King Nebuchadnezzar before him, and was noted in the word of God just shared in Daniel chapter 5. Suddenly, says the writer who goes on to explain, a ghostly hand appeared in front of everyone to write on the wall of the palace banquet hall. It was a message of judgment for a people who were godless in their behavior. Mark, the author of this piece, writes, as they drank from the cups dedicated to God's service, the irony was that sin's work of debauchery and wickedness had filled the cup of their lives and was overflowing. The handwriting upon the wall was God's own, saying, Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, of which the writer gives an account of the meaning when he states that it is numbered, numbered, weighed in the balances and found wanting, your kingdom is gone. Of which, my friends, is just a bit off in its interpretation, which we as born-again, spirit-filled, and led Christians well know concerning the things of God is never good. When attempting to present what the Bible plainly has already interpreted for us. What I am saying is just as we read a moment ago, this is the true interpretation. It is as well why the Lord God in his word tells us to show ourselves approved unto men and God by the studying of his word. For it is said, beginning at Daniel chapter 5, verse 22, by way of the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit, as spoken by the mouth of Daniel, quote, "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knowest all this, but has lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou," meaning you, Belshazzar, "and thy lords, and thy wives, and thy concubines," or prostitutes, my friends, "have drank wine from them. And thou," meaning you, O king, "has praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified?" Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written: "Meeny, meeny, tinkel, upharsin." The word of the Lord God goes on to say in verse 26, where Daniel is speaking and says, this is the interpretation of the thing. Meaning, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tikal, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting, which is to say that you are found defective, meaning that on the scales of God's balances from heaven, you are an unjust weight. You are not right. But interestingly, instead of saying upharsin, the third thing that is revealed in the word of God says, "Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians." Now, my friends, if you will notice, a couple of very interesting things are being said here that most people never pick up on. The first of which is that the letter U in upharsin, equals the word "and" in the Aramaic language. And the word "pharsin" in the Aramaic is the plural of the word "perez," of which the word of God used in verse 28, of which has two meanings, which are division and Persia, and is why verse 28 reads, "Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians," or in other words, to Persia, which is modern-day Iran, my friends. With that said, to finish out the scripture, verse 29 continues by stating, "Then commanded Belshazzar that," and "then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom." My friends, I know Daniel did not want that, but when the king says a decree, you go along with it. And he was a stranger in the land who was being treated very well because he was living and operating in the court of the earthly king because the heavenly king had put him there for that purpose. Verse 30 says, In the night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, which is to say about 62 years old, my friends. He was 62 years old, which is 62 years old. The writer continues by giving his account of the story, of the story's end, which is before the very night would end, King Cyrus of Persia would attack Babylon, Belshazzar would be slain, and Darius given the kingdom. Now, here's a little FYI for you yet again. And once again is another reason to be thoroughly studied in the Word of God. Because it is very interestingly known that Darius is actually either in reference to Agru, who was King Cyrus's general and the first to enter into Babylon at its fall, who was the same named as successor to the throne of Babylon by King Cyrus and ruled Babylon for a period after the passing on of King Cyrus. Or it is in reference and has been discussed as being in reference to the fact that it may be as well a title that King Cyrus adopted for himself during his reign over Babylon. There are many mysteries in the Word of God, my friends, but it is only by the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit that below the surface will ever be revealed to you. Moving back to the writer's story, he has this noteworthy continuation of words to share when he states, "The truths of this story are self-evident for our own time." To trifle with God, he says, who is sovereign over the nations, is to invite disaster. He says Babylon had enslaved God's chosen people. No doubt they couldn't have been more marginalized. Their influence was essentially negated. They were not at liberty to worship God freely. Belshazzar thought of God and his people as powerless. The writer goes on to say, whether we speak of the nation of Israel or spiritual Israel, in other words, my friends, the church, let it be proclaimed, he says, far and wide, that God's people can never be discounted in his scheme of national and worldly affairs. They are always at the heart of what he is doing. Mark says, to bless God's people is to be blessed. To curse God's people is to be cursed. Just to quote something that is written in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. He further interjects, the temple vessels Belshazzar desecrated were not simply things. They were images and pictures of a real counterpart. The vessels speak of the people of God, those whom God intends to fill with himself, those who God ordained to pour out his blessings upon the earth. Mark as well shares, a sure sign of coming judgment to a country is when that which is dedicated to God and reserved for holy use is filled with vernacity, which is to say the quality of being open to bribery or overtly motivated by money. A government worker's vernacity might lead to him exchanging of state secrets for cash. Criminals are known for their vernacity, being willing to break the law for a financial reward. And vice. It is most telling, Mark says, for any nation when the presence of the true religion, when the presence of true religion is co-opted in the name of idolatrous practices. He says, Belshazzar, the Bible says, called for someone to read the handwriting, listen up, my friends, on the wall. But only Daniel, the prophet of God, could do it. Preceding the judgment of a nation, those who truly know the Lord, those who understand his commandments, may not be prevalent or popular, but they will still be in demand. Only they can really discern the times. The writer continues by saying, we've all heard the old adage, those who don't learn from history are destined to repeat it. Indeed. But obviously, Belshazzar had not learned this lesson. His father, Nebuchadnezzar, had been a proud man and ignored God. For this, he suffered from insanity for 7 years before finally confessing, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are true, and his ways, judgment, and those that walk in pride, he also is able to abase. Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. At this point, the writer once again brings up once more the fact that Belshazzar knew of all of this, but refused to learn from it. Daniel chapter 5, verses 17 through 22, of which was just shared. Mark then shares, history tells us that 22 great civilizations have risen and fallen, and the reasons for their demise are amazingly similar. They abandoned their religious convictions, fully rejected basic tenets of morality. They were obsessed with sex and its perversions. They reduced the quality and intrinsic value of their money while also increasing the general price level of goods and services. They no longer viewed honest work as a necessary virtue. They allowed respect for the law to seriously diminish, and violence became an accepted means for achieving both individual and group ends. As the writer moves even closer to the end of this piece, he asks, will we learn from history these five reasons for the destruction of previous mighty civilizations that are currently rampant in America? He further questions when he asks, are we seeing the handwriting on the wall? And then answers by saying, most definitely, it seems that judgment is imminent. He goes on to reply concerning the prospect of the coming judgment of the hand of God when he chidingly says, just as the ungodly and the godless of this present world would say, judgment by who or what standard? Someone protests defiantly, what right does anyone have to judge me? He then goes on to say, if he had been afforded the time, Belshazzar might have said the same. Nevertheless, the hand that wrote on that wall was God's, telling Belshazzar and the people of Babylon that they had been weighed in his balances and found wanting. Mark at this point shares, today people often argue that they have their own balances and scales for judging life's issues. But one day, everyone is going to face God as he really is, and he and will be judged by the standards of his word. He concludes by saying, we won't be able to bring our scales on judgment day. We'll be weighed on his alone. Mark closes by saying, Christ died on the cross to redeem people of every kindred, tongue, and nation. The writer goes on to quote a Dr. George Sweeting, former chancellor of Moody Bible Institute, of whom he says has written, and of whom would not have been my choice to quote, my friends, but of whose words in this case are true, of which are, quote, no nation can rise above the faith and character of its individual citizens. The writer then says, America has a choice to make. Either we turn back or turn to faith in Jesus Christ, or we will join the fate of other long forgotten nations. He asks, why are we so foolish to believe that we can escape the judgment of God? Why do we continue ignoring the handwriting on the wall? Why aren't clergy, as he puts it, claiming this from the rooftops? Mark says, we will either go to our knees in repentance and faith or be driven to our knees in defeat. His closing words are, will you trust Christ as your Savior today? He says, Christian, have you fallen into sin and in need of making things right with your Lord? Let us heed the call of Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 8, before it's too late, of which states, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I, says the Lord God, will repent of the evil that I had thought to do unto them. My friends, in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, Jesus says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, who is he? He's Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, who is Jesus Christ, my friends, might be saved. The word of God is clear and precise. It says might be saved because the choice is wholly, totally, and solely up to you as to where you spend your eternity. You either follow the commandments and precepts of God found in the word of God, or you follow Satan, which is everything else in this world. You follow the commands and precepts of God, you're surely going to find yourself walking the streets of gold. You follow everything else in this world, you are surely going to find yourself in the lake of fire with Satan in the end. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him, who is Jesus Christ, my friends, is not condemned. But the word of God says, he that believeth not is condemned already, because the word of God says, he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, Jesus makes this promise to those who belong to him. He says, let not your heart be troubled. In these times that we are now going into, my friends, even blacker days than we've ever seen before, Jesus said, You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I, Jesus said, will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, Jesus said, there ye may be also. And whither I go, Jesus said, you know. And the way, or the method, my friends, you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way, or the method, my friends? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Jesus said to him, my friends, I am the method. The word way means method. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, which means method. I am the way, Jesus said. He is the only way to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, because he's the holder of the keys of eternal life, my friends. And he also makes this last statement. No man comes unto the Father but by me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul reminds, know ye not that the unrighteous, or those who don't live for the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, my friends, shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, Paul said, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or Ephraimites, or other abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, Paul lays out God's required plan of salvation, which only comes by way of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he states, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, or, as I like to say, right living in Jesus Christ, my friends. And with the mouth, the word of God says, confession is made unto salvation, which means way of escape, my friends, and only comes by way of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did upon the cross of Calvary through the shedding of his precious and holy blood for all mankind, once and for all who would receive it. Verse 11 says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And my friends, as we come to the end today, it is said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, Jesus giving this invitation to whosoever will come to him when he states, behold, I stand at the door, which is the door of your heart, my friends, and knock. If any man, he says, hear my voice, and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, which translates to power, my friends. Even as I, Jesus said, also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne, or power, my friends. Jesus ends by saying, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, saith unto the churches. My friends, today, it's up to you. I cannot do it for you. Go before the Lord. We don't know at what hour of what day that is yet to come that something drastic is about to happen. And one day, my friends, it will happen. No one knows the day or the hour of a lot of things besides the Lord Jesus Christ's return. We don't know at what moment North Korea might succeed through the means of China or Russia behind them, or someone else, Iran or Persia, in other words, my friends, aiding them because they all hate us and call us the big Satan. Go before the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for yourself. Ask the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit through the evidence of speaking with other tongues by way of his Holy Spirit to fall upon your life after you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and begin to know God's word, know it well, and know it correctly for yourself. My friends, once again, and pray it all in Jesus' name. And with that said, my friends, it's a wrap. Shalom and blessings until we meet again.
I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelations for yourself.
Join Streams in the Desert Live each Wednesday at 4 p.m. on Star Worldwide Networks, where your host, Pastor Dana, will examine the headlines of our daily news in light of Bible prophecy. Streams in the Desert Live thanks you for listening, for your phone calls, emails, and as always, your generous love offerings in support of this internet radio broadcast. You may also visit or email Streams in the Desert Ministries, home of Streams in the Desert Live, by way of the website or Facebook page, which can be easily found on the StarWorldwideNetworks.com Streams in the Desert landing page. Until next week, Streams in the Desert Live bids you all much love in Jesus, and that the peace of the Lord Jesus be unto you all now and always. And remember, if you're not serving Jesus now, what makes you think you'll be doing it later in heaven?